Welcome to Inside Maryland Politics. I'm Fraser Smith, WIPR senior news analyst and columnist for the Daily Record. My guest is Jill Lawrence of National Journal. In an article that you did for your magazine about women in the Senate, you talked quite a bit, of course, about Barbara Mikulski. One of the small but I think really interesting things is that she has this really wonderful private office, Real Estate is Power.
So she's got this great hideaway. It's a very nice room. It's close to where she needs to be, and it's just filled with memorabilia from her career, just all kinds of pictures and newspaper clippings, and, of course, the history of the rise of women in the Senate, which is very slow, starting off with two people when she was there, herself and Nancy Kassebaum of Kansas.
But, of course, now with the title that she has, the chair of the Appropriations Committee, she must be getting even more respect. I mean, I don't think we're saying here that she didn't have respect or a really high profile there, because I think she did. But when you're handling the money, I think a lot of people want to talk to you. What do you think is the most meaningful thing she's done since she's been the chairwoman?
Her ranking Republican member is Richard Shelby of Alabama. She and Shelby managed to get a continuing resolution through the committee and the Senate. They got a six-month bill through, so now there's no fiscal crisis of funding the government until September. Now, that may sound like not a big thing, and it didn't really do much to temper sequestration, but they did it in a bipartisan way. I mean, if you ask me, you know, her role with women in the Senate is has been equally meaningful. She's the dean of the women. You know, she convenes briefings. Most recently, she invited everyone in to hear about what's going on with sexual assaults in the military, because there's seven women on the Armed Services Committee, but there's a lot of women who aren't keeping up to date with every development. She wanted them all to know. Now, it is a small group. If there are only 20 men in the Senate, they might be doing the same thing.
It's almost reintroducing collegiality in the United States Senate. I mean, that's how things get done over there.
She said that, you know, you find your point of common interest, and even if it doesn't mean very much, it could lead to other projects that do mean more. And I asked her for an example, and she told me that she and Senator Hatch first got together over Women's History Month because he told her there were lots of pioneering women in the West. And, you know, later on, they worked on reforming the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, which, you know, was a more substantive project. And she said that if he came up to her and said he wanted to talk to her about something, she'd obviously listen and they probably could work something out.
What's the role of party in all of this?
Well, you know, within the women's caucus, they like to think it's subordinated. But if you talk to people who study the Senate, they'll give that as one reason why the women stick together so well. 16 of the 20 are Democrats and only 4 are Republicans. So it makes it easier for them to have these extracurricular social events and gatherings. But the Tea Party senators, Kelly Ayotte and Deb Fischer, they also feel comfortable in this group. I don't want to, you know, totally gloss over the fact that to get elected to the Senate, you have to be pretty tough and have a lot of survival skills. And that's apparent with all of these women. But I think they do like to get to the bottom line. I mean, you don't see a lot of women like Ted Cruz in the Senate.
Well, thank you so much, Jill. This has really been good.
Thanks a lot. It's been fun.
For Jill Lawrence, I'm Fraser Smith, and you've been listening to Inside Maryland Politics on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.